Hey, everybody. I'm James. That's Scotty.
Yeah.
You are Scotty. I like it better when we can see each other in person. It's Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. Join us for a live chat as we shoot the breeze. Welcome to the Carolina Weather Group. James Brierton, Charlotte, Scotty Powell there in Myrtle Beach here on this Wednesday, October the 25th, 2023. And we are doing the show that we like to call Shooting the Breeze. No guests.
Always one of the best shows.
No agenda. Just you and us. And if you're with us here on this Wednesday night on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, join the live conversation by commenting now. Scotty, you know, it is the show right before Halloween. And we have some Halloween fonts that we'll be using on this week's show.
Creepy fonts. I like that.
Creepy fonts. So if you want to join the creepy conversation, comment now. We are going to be talking about the NOAA winter weather outlook, which will give us an early insight into what we can expect for the upcoming winter season. We're going to be talking about rapid intensification. Yet another impressive hurricane. Wait till you see the satellite imagery if you have not seen it yet. And a surprise recognition for us here at the Carolina Weather Group that we want to share with you all and share our thoughts. That's coming up this week. I feel like, Scotty, I feel like this show needs some music.
Oh, we always like music here.
What are we feeling tonight? I was looking for Halloween music.
I was going to say, do we have any Halloween-themed music?
No, surprisingly, we don't. Surprisingly, we don't. All right, folks in the comments, these are the categories of music that are offered up to us here at Carolina Weather Group HQ. Chill, lounge, lo-fi, ambient, future pop. If one of those sounds exciting to you, join the conversation like Eva did and let us know.
I'm between lo-fi and ambient.
Okay, let's try lo-fi. If we don't like it, we'll change it. That's what Shooting the Breeze is all about.
That's right.
It's about throwing the baby out with the bathwater and just seeing what we get out of this.
Don't throw a spinny wheel of death.
Don't throw the baby out. Yeah, no, that is not FDA recommended. So one of the most popular stories, while we wait for the music to load, I don't hear music. Do you hear music?
That's kind of par with the way the nights went so far.
I know. We were late because I couldn't get my camera to turn on. Eva did say she wants lo-fi beats, which I would be happy to play if I wasn't just getting a spinny wheel.
Try the Mac user. Try ambient. I've tried
them all.
All of them. Okay.
You know what? I think the AI music bot is on strike. I think that's what's happening. Yeah, one of the most popular and click stories on the internet this week has been the NOAA winter weather outlook, which is not surprising, Scotty, because everyone feels. Let me backtrack. Everyone's a strong word. A lot of people feel like they would like to see some snow this year.
What is winter weather?
Kayla on our Facebook page commented saying, I was really hoping for snow this year. My son was very excited for snow this year. Kind of sad face. We'll explain why in a minute. And Denny wrote to Kayla, you can drive an hour and a half west. There'll be snow in the mountains. There was last year.
They've already had some snow.
That's one of the beautiful things about the Carolinas, right, Scotty? You're at the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
We got mountains. You can really, if you have a means of travel and the ability to do that, you can really kind of change climates relatively quickly. So
literally where you are, you're like 3 hours from the mountains. And
when we interview people at work, I use it as a selling feature. Whether you like the beach or the mountains, we got all of it.
Yeah,
we got all of it. So this is what NOAA is predicting for their upcoming winter weather outlook, and it can be summarized, as their headline does, by saying wetter in the south, warmer in the north.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a moment, though. Warmer in the north? This whole thing comes down to El Nino, warm temperatures and moisture. So when we look at the seasonal temperature outlook, we might be here in the Carolinas slightly above average when it comes to temperatures. That's not going to be helpful for snow, Scotty.
No. Another thing that we've not really put into this discussion is the sea surface temperatures.
Oh, still goodness.
Very, very high.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute. I think that will pair well.
Oh, I hear the music.
Thanks for showing up to the party.
It looks like Ambien finally played.
It's like I thought a spaceship landed or something. I was like, what is that?
Is that a Chinese spy balloon? Seasonal precipitation outlook will be above average for moisture in the Carolinas. Moisture is good if you like snow, but it's not good if you pair it with warmer temperatures, right? And then we do have things like the seasonal drought outlook. It's been relatively dry these last few months, and drought has been expanding a little bit. So again, an outlook really just talks about kind of the generalities. NOAA's not going to say Charlotte's going to get 5 inches of snow. Feel free to take me out of context and make that my forecast, but that's not what we're saying. And you know, they're going to tell us kind of the gist and the expectations of the big picture. So with that El Nino, I'm hoping, Scotty, that although over the course of December, January, and February, it will be warmer and wetter. The thing we were missing last year was the wetter part. We just didn't have enough moisture to produce snow. I'm kind of thinking, okay, yeah, it might be a little warm, but we get a cold snap at just the right time. If we've got more moisture, more storm tracks coming through, even a really bad baseball player who has frequent at-bats hits the ball eventually.
It's true. A couple of things kind of remind me of this winter. Anytime that we have El Nino, obviously, as James was talking about, you have the more precipitation. And how do you get precipitation here? Mostly it's because of fronts or storm systems that spin up off the coast. And a lot of times here in the Carolinas, James probably will tell you, when he moved here, he had more hair than he does now.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, we have something called the Carolina Wedge. Ugh. And those are very hard to predict, the high pressure. How strong is it? How much cold air is going to be filtering down the Appalachian Mountains? Is it going to be thick enough for it to be all snow? Is it going to be thick enough for the snowflake to melt and change into freeze and rain? Or is it going to be all rain? So these El Nino setups are very difficult to predict on what kind of precipitation. I will also say, history says during El Ninos, and this is a strong El Nino, we also have severe weather. Not only do we have those wild swings where you go from 70 degree weather and you have severe thunderstorm threats to when that front moves through, you get cooler air. And you know, if you can get a storm system to develop on the backside of that air, that colder pocket of air, you know, could you get winter weather. So I think this setup is, unfortunately for the snow lovers, your best bet obviously is the mountains. But outside of that, I think if there's a bigger winter weather threat, be more in the mixed category of like sleet and ice than like legit.
Here's snow. A comment. Eva says it's just easier to say with the forecaster Greensboro's wintry mix. It's so true, right? Because we're right there on that edge so often in the Carolinas, so often along Interstate 85, that dividing line, you think about the white on radar, that's snow that tends to be north of 85. It's always green south of 85. And then like, I don't live in Greensboro, I live in Charlotte, but for some reason the interstate seems to be the dividing line and runs through both of our cities. We're just like right in it. So yes to severe weather, Scotty, and also ice. Ice is so much worse than snow. And just a small amount of ice can be really crippling to a city.
That's what I was going to say. It doesn't take a lot. Just a little bit of ice, you know, can knock power out. It can shut down roadways. And I even think back to some of the previous El Ninos we've had, that ice threat has even extended down to where I'm at now in the PD even some of the coastal areas. So I think it brings, El Nino brings more, if this makes sense, I think it will, brings more of the Carolinas into play for some type of wintry scenario. Whereas when La Nina, it's more confined to the Northwest flow and the mountains, and they get a lot of the snow, and then nobody, well, not many people outside of the mountains really don't get that threat. But as you get into El Nino and you have that storm track in the south that's more active, it just brings all of the Carolinas into the potential.
Well, let's show
severe weather to winter weather.
Yeah, well, let's talk about here what El Nino does in terms of the big picture. Right, it takes everything and kind of slides it up north, so that polar jet stream that brings in that cold Canadian air, it goes north. The extended Pacific jet stream, it comes north. And so that's why we're going to be on this track here in the southern part of the United States for warmer and wetter weather. So that does kind of play into, yeah, we might be able to fuel, to Scotty's point, some of these severe weather outbreaks. I don't know if it was an El Nino setup, but I know right after we bought this house, and like it was like February of 2020, we had a severe weather outbreak, I think, here in Charlotte, if my memory serves, with, you know, gusty winds, and it might have even been tornadoes, like really early in the morning. And so, you know, it sounds crazy, but you can get severe weather every month of the year. With that being said, I think just the pure moisture play alone gives us a better shot than last year, where I think a lot of us were disappointed thinking we were going into a winter that wasn't nearly as strong La Nina as it really was, and then we just bleh.
Yeah, I'm looking up NOAA right now and just some of the years that we've seen El Nino, to what we think will happen this year. 2010 pops up as one of those events. 1991, 1992, 2018, 2019, 2009, 2010. You remember that's when everybody in North Carolina had a white Christmas. 2018 to 2019, I think what you were talking about, Jake, we had severe weather in the area. So it's a very, it's like a seesaw. You know, you can get a lot of extremes. And
hey, here's some good news. The last couple of years, we've been worried about storms on Halloween. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about storms on Halloween this year. Now, this coming weekend is going to be incredibly warm. Last weekend in October, and we're talking 80 degree temperatures here in Charlotte. But it will cool down a bit by the time we get to Halloween. But it'll probably be a relatively nice Halloween for a lot of folks out there. We lost Scotty. Maybe that'll give his computer an opportunity to figure out why his microphone was getting so quiet. Hopefully you guys all heard that at home too, and it wasn't just me. But we do appreciate all you joining the conversation. We saw some comments in there as we were discussing. Jesse says he's looking forward to cold and wet weather. And he's tuning in tonight for this winter weather outlook conversation. And here to see how mad he can make Scotty. Which is always fun and appreciated, because we like having some fun with Scotty too. All right, we'll try to get Scotty back on the line here in just a moment. As you're continuing on with us on this Wednesday night, do continue to join the conversation. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, we appreciate all of that chatter. Let's talk about something that has a little bit of time left for you to partake in, and we'll scroll the names at the bottom of the screen right now. A special thanks to all of our Patreon supporters at patreon.com/Carolina Weather Group, where for just a dollar, you can help us not get rich off of doing this show. Boy, that we are so far from any sort of reality where we're getting rich from doing this show. But we do have subscription fees that we have to pay for, some bills that we have to pay for in order to make this show possible. Zoom subscriptions, website subscriptions, and things like that. So join us at patreon.com/Carolina Weather Group, because at the end of the month, one of those fine folks who are actively participating will receive a box of swag from us. Let me reach for it here. Well, we've got a very very new and unopened Carolina Weather Group hat. We've got a tumbler cup that says Carolina Weather Group. So one of our super fans at patreon.com/Carolina Weather Group will be receiving this at the end of the month. We have about a week left. If you're with us live here anytime on Halloween, you can still sign on up. We appreciate all the support that you guys give us. And I'll just say, if you are a Patreon member, keep an eye on those DMs, because somebody there in the first couple days of November will be getting a message from me asking for a PO box or something to send these on off to. So we appreciate you guys.
He's going to sign you a big check too. You get a big check too.
Like one of those big giant like novelty checks.
Same check that we get here.
Oh, the same check, zero.
Sorry, you know, when I was going through the El Nino and I clicked the wrong X, so that's my bad.
Oh, you tried to X out the El Nino, but you accidentally X out your X computer connection. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Hello to Wesley, who's watching tonight on YouTube. Welcome back. Thanks for being a loyal Carolina Weather Group subscriber. Well, Scotty, I know we wanted to talk about rapid intensification. I mean, that is just a reoccurring theme in the tropics. Let's see if I can switch this to Lo-Fi Beach, shall we? And we just had a storm. You may not know this. It was on the Pacific side of the boundary there in North America. But we want to talk about Hurricane Otis tonight. And if you haven't seen not only the devastation that it has caused to portions of Mexico, but also the satellite imagery, you know, folks like Michael Lowry spent years at the Weather Channel and with FEMA and other media outlets tweeting, posting to X, you know, shots like this, where it is just an unbelievably spooky strong eyewall. This is satellite imagery from GOES 16 of Otis making landfall there on the southern coast of Mexico. And an eye like that is, as he writes here, a nightmare scenario. I know, Scotty, you've been keeping an eye on this storm.
Yeah, so normally I get pretty irritated when you hear people say, oh, it hit without notice. You know, we always hear those.
Yeah, the storm came without warning.
The storm came without, well, this is legit, came without warning. Yesterday, I did some research on this today, and with one of my fellow meteorologists at the station, James Hopkins, and we were looking at it. This storm went from a tropical depression to a Category 5 hurricane, 1,000 millibars to 927 in less than 24 hours. So that is what you call rapid intensification. Went from like 80 mile per hour winds to 165 within 12 hours. And so the region of Acapulco, Mexico is preparing basically for a tropical storm, maybe a low end Cat 1, but not a Category 5 with 165 mile per hour winds. This was the strongest storm to intensify in the satellite era, which goes back to 1966. The only other storm that's comparable is Hurricane Patricia, which had a 75 mile per hour jump in winds, which was also in the Pacific a few years ago. But, just a devastating storm. And I'm afraid when I saw this video here and you look at this, this is a metropolitan area. So thankfully there's some sturdier buildings there, you know, with hotels and things like that. But I still believe with the thought that there wasn't a lot of
warning, not a lot
intensity.
Of
intensity. Yeah, not like yeah. Hey, you really need to take this serious. I'm afraid since there wasn't like that intensity of hey, we got to watch the storm, that as the days come out in the next few days, that we're going to hear some bad stuff from that region. So, it just goes to show you that weather is still unpredictable. You know, none of the models showed this, nothing, you know, just.
How does that happen, Scotty? In 2023,
how does none of the models. We were talking about that today. Like, how did this get missed so bad? And I'm not, I don't know. I'm not sure even if like they flew a plane into this because it was just a tropical depression. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those like.
Right, to be clear, it's not like the storm appeared at as Cat 5 out of nowhere.
Right.
It still had to go 0 to 60, but it did 0 to 60 faster than any car you've ever seen before. Right.
Yeah. Very short amount of time.
And, which unfortunately we've seen a lot because of those sea surface temperatures you were talking about.
Yeah. And I can't remember the exact, but this was like for this time of the year, it was in the top 5-10% of warmest sea surface temperatures registered in that region. So that definitely had some impacts on helping the storm strengthen so much. But, you know, I remember yesterday I saw a tropical depression, you know, it's there's been several down there, but then, you know, you continue to see it strengthen yesterday, and then you wake up this morning and you're like, it's category 5. Oh my gosh. You know?
Yeah.
This is one of those events. So there's very few that we can ever say it happened without warning, but this is one of them that
we're normally refuting those headlines. We're going, was warning. Sea surface temperatures, they don't have a measurement here on the NOAA site, but we can extrapolate it was probably in the 80 degrees there along that coast of Mexico. On our Atlantic side, you know, we're still seeing temperatures in the Gulf in 83, 85, 70s. Along the Carolina coast as we have some NBC chimes playing in the background here NBC? As the network is preparing for a special report, I'm being told. And so the temperatures are certainly something that is going to continue to impact the hurricane season that is still left with us here for just a little bit while longer, and will have impacts on winter weather as well, too, because, again, that's going to help really fuel some warm temperatures.
And you think you're talking about the tropics. We had tropical depression that appeared yesterday or Monday. We had tropical depression 21 that developed. We still have Hurricane Tammy out in the Atlantic. And if you've not seen the track of Tammy lately, it was projected to continue out into the north, and now we've got a high pressure building in, and it's actually starting to curve Tammy back towards Bermuda and then curve it back to the north. So it's kind of doing almost like a little S shape there over the
next all of days. If you're listening to our audio podcast tonight, what we're seeing on the screen is, you know, the cone is just kind of like on top of itself. It's like
a circle,
soft spiral, soft serve ice cream, just kind of stacked on top of itself there. Well, you know, let's talk about Tammy and let's talk about Otis here for a second, because I think I want to make something clear, is that we don't have in either one of these storms any known threat here for us in the southeast.
That's right. Correct.
So we're talking about storms because they're relevant and they're interesting, but we're not talking about storms because of the Carolina part of our name. We're talking them because they're exceptionally impressive storms, especially when you think about Otis.
And the reason why we're not going to see Tammy's impact here along the Carolinas, even with even if it was just to be high surf, is the big cold front that's moving through early next week. We see that it's going to bring some much cooler temperatures into the area, and that's kind of going to push Tammy on out to sea. So,
yeah. I'm going to pause for a moment, Scotty. I was waiting for some details. Obviously, you guys just heard those NBC chimes. As you guys know, my day job is at an NBC affiliate here. And so we were getting a notification on my work phone that the network was preparing some breaking news. They've just come on the air now with something that initially I was not going to bring up on a weather podcast, especially if you're listening to this days later. But I think this is a headline that is breaking here on this Wednesday night that is unfortunately going to be with us for some time here. NBC News and others are now reporting 15 people have died in a mass casualty event, a mass shooting in the state of Maine, in Lewistown, Maine, here on this evening. And that is just heartbreaking. And unfortunately, the expression deja vu all over again starts to come back to me as we are looking at this. So my apologies for moving out of weather and into a different avenue here, but I think this is something that if was not already on your radar on this live Wednesday evening show, is something that is going to be on front pages of newspapers, or as the expression would be, as we look ahead to tomorrow. So that is deeply troubling and sad on this Wednesday night. Sorry to but we had to acknowledge that here.
I'm just surfing on Twitter while you're talking, and the AP, there's actually some clear security surveillance picture of the person who did this.
The president has been briefed. And as Scotty mentioned, some police imagery. So, new headlines on the day where we finally got a House speaker, and continue to follow international news. Unfortunately, some news out of the state of Maine here tonight. Not really sure where to go from there.
Well. But-
I will say this. In terms of things that surprise us, right? Headlines like that surprise us. Rapid intensification of storms surprise us. And so you can never really know when something is going to happen, when your neighbors might be in need, when you might find yourself in a place of need. And there's something coming up here in the a month of November that the Carolina Weather Group is very happy to be participating in. We wish there wasn't a need for it at all. But we want to take this opportunity now to make sure that you save the date and join us in our efforts and the efforts of our friends at other weather podcasts to do a little good in the world. And so we're asking you to join the Carolina Weather Group, Weather Brains, Stormfront Freaks, and Chaser Chat on Saturday, November 18th from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern for a 12-hour long telethon supporting the American Red Cross. It will stream right here wherever you are watching our show. This will be an event that doesn't immediately translate on over to our audio podcast feed, but you can find us on Facebook, on YouTube, from 10 until 10 on Saturday, November 18th. And we will be sharing over the course of the next few days and weeks some of the big guests that will be joining us. We have invites and confirmations and acceptances out now from some very exciting guests. And so we're very happy to be a part of a weather podcast industry and group where all of us come together to unite to help the American Red Cross, who so often are on the scene first to help people in devastating weather events. Scotty, we're calling this the Weather Pods Disaster Relief Telethon.
Yeah, and such a, you know, it's a really good thing because, like you said, if it's weather or what we just reported there, you know, there's always a need from the American Red Cross, even from folks who, your neighbors who may have a house that catches on fire. The Red Cross puts those folks up in hotels and provides, you know, the food and things like that. So it's always a great time or a great thing to help out the American Red Cross. And they do so much more than just the blood drives. You know, they're really there in every instance, even overseas right now, providing humanitarian relief for everyone. So it's always a good organization to help out.
And I got to give credit to where credit's due. This came about because Phil Johnson at Stormfront Freaks reached out and said, hey, is this something you guys would be interested in doing together? And so to kind of give him credit for coming up with this idea and to express appreciation that he doesn't go, no, those are my competitor podcasts, to say, hey, let's do this together and really help all of the folks who at some point or another are going to need the resources of a group like the American Red Cross. So we're looking forward to what we hope will be a fun-filled, entertaining day. And one that is built around a seriousness of helping a group who helps others throughout, as Scotty just said, nationally and internationally. I think we got the music playing, which is a nice addition. And let's talk about something that hopefully doesn't come across as a self-serving serving or tooting our own horn, Scotty. But we got some really nice news here at the Carolina Weather Group over the past week. And if you follow us on social media, which we hope you do, you may have seen this already, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it on the show just yet. But last week we found out, at the same time you found out, that the National Weather Service's Weather Ready Nation program, which we are a proud ambassador of, was recognizing the Carolina Weather Group as one of their Weather Ready Nation Ambassadors of Excellence for this year. And it was a real treat and honor to be recognized by this program that does so much good. And we're just a small part of it. And our nomination, our award, comes from our friends at the National Weather Service in Greenville, Spartanburg, who had some really nice things to say on their social and on the list of folks who are receiving this award across the country, some of which I'm going to go ahead and just kind of, I think, scroll here. Because while I can talk about us, you at home already know us. You're here already, right? So, Scotty, I don't know if you noted this, but like there are all of these amazing organizations across the United States that are all supporting this program to help us build a weather-ready nation. And it's just a really special opportunity, and we're extremely thankful to be recognized for an award that we didn't enter in. We didn't put an application in. These are all folks who the Weather Service recognized as folks who they saw were doing an excellent job, and we really appreciate that recognition.
Yeah, I mean, and some of these are, like, I just saw the Memphis Emergency Management, City of Memphis Emergency Management. There's a television station there. Is that WWNY?
WNY, yeah.
Yeah, there was University of North Carolina A&T over
Greensboro
area.
Very cool.
Tallahassee International Airport. So these are really
South Carolina Emergency Management.
Yeah, numerous agencies that you don't really attribute weather to. You know, you wouldn't think of like, well, why would a college or why would a high school or why would an airport, you know, be a weather red? But it takes all of us. And you know, if you kind of step behind, take a step back and think of everything you do, weather's a part of that. If you're flying
everything,
a plane,
yeah.
You're going to a sporting event or a concert, like there's people there to watch to make sure that you're safe, whatever you're doing. Is that a bar, a ranch?
A bar, a ranch. Sure. Yeah. Well, it says that they were recognized by the National Weather Service out of Cheyenne. And their local county emergency management for being a force multiplier of post wildlife and debris flow alerting. So it's a part of the country where that's a big deal. They specifically note a 2020 wildfire where that was the situation, and the ranch sits on a creek that is highly susceptible to potential debris flow and flash flooding, potentially impacting numerous patrons of the resort ranch, right? Because this is all about saving lives. And so they're recognized for their efforts. We were recognized for teaching about severe weather safety, right, during our tornado warning coverage, when we're telling you where to go and what to do, and also sharing those real-time warnings, amplifying those warnings from the National Weather Service on our social media and on so many of our live streams.
And like how we participate in the Safe Place selfies, the Great Shakeout, Earthquake Shakeout, you know, those are...
Which was just this past week.
Yeah, those are all important things.
Let's talk a little bit about the North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University. NCA&T is recognized by the National Weather Service in Raleigh. It is one of four historically Black colleges and universities in North Carolina that are WRN ambassadors, not only as a formal meteorological program, but its students participate in the National Weather Service Raleigh's annual student intern program. So as part of that program, students spend several weeks visiting the Weather Service, shadowing forecasters, and help promote severe weather safety and preparedness, probably at school, every day in their real life, amongst friends and family. And so they're being recognized for that. And let's recognize also this group here, who the National Weather Service in Morehead City recognized as Weather Ready Ambassadors of Excellence for 2023, for a group started in 2017 that is a cultural group that helps PK, that's pre-K, through 12th grade private school. And it's an institute for building resilient communities. How much are we hearing that word, right? Especially there along the coast through eastern North Carolina and elsewhere, where they are building infrastructures to withstand and respond to natural resources like Hurricane Florence and public health emergencies like COVID-19. I'll just say right now, Scotty, I want to have all of these folks on our show and get to know them.
And that's an area that every time the east, you know, southeast North Carolina gets hit, we always see the storm surge. We always see the flooding that takes place. So that is a community that is very used to that.
Yeah. And I'll also just give credit to the National Weather Service in Greenville, Spartanburg, for writing a better description of us than I could ever write. So people sometimes ask us, and I'm like, yo, we're like a podcast, but we do video. And what they wrote was very touching, so accurate and so well put. I think I'm going to use it in the future when I try to describe us.
Well, and for you folks who may be interested in this, if you want to go back in the archives on YouTube, type in Carolina Weather Group and Doug Hildebrand. Doug Hildebrand runs the National Weather Ready Ambassador Program, and we've had him on several times talking about everything from severe weather safety to rip current safety. So it kind of shows you what that program is all about and how it's designed to help everyone in these different parts of the country be prepared for stuff.
And as we come into the winter season, although Scotty was talking earlier about severe weather, there's also an opportunity for you to be a storm spotter this winter. And here we are. Let's talk a little bit about this offering from the National Weather Service. This one in particular from our friends in Greenville Spartanburg, also known as Greer, who will be hosting virtual winter storm spotter talks Saturday, November 4th, 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, where you will learn winter basics, how to measure snow, such a critical, critical tool. I know it sounds simple, but you have to do it in the correct place and at the correct level, at the correct measurement, so that when we compare your neighborhood to another neighborhood, we know we're all measuring the same way. These classes are free, open to the public across all of the Carolinas, and you can register. I'm going to go ahead and hit share right now and go ahead and put this on our Facebook page. So if you're interested in joining this program that's coming away Saturday, November 4th. So two great events in Saturday in November. This one on November 4th, and then our telethon on the 18th.
And James doesn't know I'm getting ready. Didn't know that I was getting ready to say this, but maybe
is there a third great event?
Maybe we can reach out to our friends and host a virtual one of those like we do severe weather, because winter weather, let me tell you, you just can't go out and stick a ruler in your yard and say that's how much it snowed, because it's not that easy. So this is
but to bring this conversation full circle, are you saying it's going to snow enough this year that I could stick a ruler into it and measure it, Scotty?
Jesse's wanting to know my beautiful prediction. And so here's my beautiful prediction.
Okay.
I no longer live in the foothills of the mountains of North Carolina, so I don't.
Hang on.
I will say
he's
this.
Not saying he doesn't care, because I know he cares.
I will
what
say
he's
this.
Saying is, la 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 la. Yeah. I don't want to think about the snow I'm missing. I don't want That's to think right. about the snow I'm missing.
I'll say this: we didn't get any snow last year. We're not going to go 2 years in a row without snow.
That would be so sad.
Yeah. If it does that, then we're in some real hurt.
So NOAA came out with their winter weather outlook. We talked about at the beginning of the show. That is a seasonal outlook over 3 months over across the entire United States. Mr. Panovich at the day job at WCNC Charlotte every year does his annual winter weather outlook, where he does include a guess of how much snow we're going to get in places like Boone, Hickory, and Charlotte.
But I will say this. I got to go behind the scenes last year.
You did.
Mr. Panovich and Mr. Bryanton do this, and it's an all-day adventure, and it was really fun to watch how the magic is made.
Well, we maybe just taped it again.
Oh.
So
did you go back to
that.
The same location?
We did not go back to the same location. Okay. We're trying another new thing. Ooh. This year. It was new last year by going on location and introducing augmented reality.
Yeah. And last year you introduced that it can snow when it's 50 degrees outside.
Are you talking about the artificial snow we inserted into the?
Yeah. No, the snowmaking machine.
Oh, the snowmaking. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The ski resort was making snow.
Yeah, the ski resort. Yeah.
That was Beach, right?
Beach Mountain. Yes.
That was Beach Mountain. They were making snow and it was 50 degrees outside.
It was a cold 50 degrees.
It was a cold 50 degrees. Hey, the ski resorts are hoping it snows this year, too, because they had to make a lot of snow last year. Jesse says you're a traitor.
Well, I am.
He was at the Speedway like 2 weeks ago. He's around.
I was. I'm still around North Carolina. Here's my big, if you really honestly want my winter forecast, I do think, there'll be chances of snow, but honestly, and I think James may share my sentiment because we talked a little bit about this earlier today. I'm afraid we may see some ice events this year. Nobody likes ice.
We're going to see ice events. Ice events are not fun.
Nobody likes to see ice.
No one likes to see ice events. Well, folks, thanks for shooting the breeze with us on this Wednesday night. We like to do these from time to time where we aren't doing a structured interview. We're conversing with you. We're conversing with each other. We're just seeing what comes down the pike. We hope you have a safe and happy Halloween. We'll see you the following day. But please, if you can give at patreon.com/Carolina Weather Group, I talked a little bit, I guess it was maybe 2 weeks ago, how, you know, we're not here to make a ton of money. Scotty and I don't get paid to do the show at all, but we do have certain bills that we need to pay so that we don't have to hit our families up for money, you know, website subscriptions and things like the like. And typically we have ads. If you watch us on YouTube, typically we have ads. If you listen to our audio podcast, call it the economy, call it early arrival of the Grinch. Those ads have currently dried up and are not playing. And so what we're hoping is that the fine folks who are giving, able to give, even if it's just a dollar, over at patreon.com/Carolina Weather Group, that does help us just kind of break even and cover some of those bills. And so that's why we're going to be happy to recognize somebody here in just about a week's time with some swag to try to return the appreciation and the favor. So thanks to folks like Steve Holmes, Sarah George, and Wes Clark at patreon.com/Carolina Weather Group.
Yeah. We appreciate it. We definitely do. Like James said, we do this honestly for the love of you all. And just, we're a bunch of weather nerds and geeks that like to hang out and talk weather. And with everything else, there's bills to pay. And you know, we're not doing this to get rich. We just want to continue paying our bills so we can continue talking to you.
Yeah. We will see you back here next week. Thanks for watching. Have a good night. Stay safe and hug a loved one. Talk to you.